Well, thank you, Brother Jesse. When it gets all down to it, it's all about Jesus. Amen. Thank God for the old rugged cross. I want you to open your Bible this morning as we think on the subject of Roundup Sunday. We've had a lot of Roundup Sundays. We appreciate the sheriff being with us so many times here through these years. I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the final roundup today. It is a special day. The word is a Western word. Most of us grew up with the little shoot 'em up cowboy movies in the old days, and we understand about cattle drives and roundups and chuck wagons and all that we thought was just great. I'm sure the fellows that was doing it thought it was work, but we kids watching it thought it looked like fun, amen? And that's a word roundup. Now, we know roundups can be good and bad. The sheriff can tell you about rounding up whole gangs of bad, amen, criminals and so forth. And I'm glad he's able to do that. But there's good, too. There's good family reunions, roundups. Now, some of us kind of dread some of that. But we look forward to getting together with the, you know, with the graduating class. Well, I did until they all started looking so old. Roundup veterans that's been friends through the years, once in a while have a get together, and then we can talk about roundups in a lot of ways and look forward to them most of the time. But I want to talk to you this morning about what the Bible says about some major roundup times and a final one that is coming. To begin with, I want to talk about a roundup of the saved people. Now, the Bible tells us God's people, those that are born again, it says in this verse 17 here of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, then it says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is going to be a roundup, folks. A roundup when the trumpet sounds that we can't imagine. Can you imagine seeing your loved ones again? The text here, if I read it all, tells you God's going to bring them back with him. We're going to meet them in the air. We don't even wait till they get to the ground. We're going to go up, meet them in the air. You know what? It'll be a great thing. Do you ever dream about any loved one? I remember the other night I had a good dream, and my dad was in the dream. And I just enjoyed, when I woke up, I realized how much I missed him. Oh, you know, I'm going to see him again. He's going to be in that crowd, in that roundup that comes back. And the scripture tells us it's going to happen quickly. It says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't get saved till I was in my early 20s. And I didn't hear preaching and understand the Bible. But I used to hear folks say, even when I was a kid, it'll happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, you know, that's quicker than a blink. That's fast, my friend. And it's going to happen. I mean, all of a sudden, somebody is going to be standing side of somebody that disappears. You know, when Christmas time gets here, I don't go to the outside movies, but I like to watch one or two of the old ones. I like to watch Sergeant York on old movie, some of the old ones. Some of the shoot 'em ups like John Wayne and stuff. I'm liable to be caught watching one of them. But there's one called The Wonderful Life that comes on at Christmas time with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. Remember those? Back when real values were being established and held up. You remember what I'm talking about? You know what I like, though? Jimmy Stewart is having to be shown by God and an angel named Clarence that's sent to him to show him his life really was a wonderful life, that it really was a good life. And I like it when the Clarence is out there and the policeman grabs him and the policeman's wrestling with him, and all of a sudden Clarence cries out and he disappears right in the policeman's arms. Now, I get a kick out of that because I believe that's going to happen. I really do. I believe there's going to be some old bully beating up on some Christian, and all of a sudden he's not there. Wow. I mean, there may be some martyr, and a lot of martyrs, a lot of people being killed today for the name of Jesus Christ across this whole planet in a lot of places. Can you imagine some fellow just about to chop off a Christian's head, and all of a sudden, he's not there? It's going to happen that way. It's going to be a roundup of the saved, the born again, that the trumpet's going to sound in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and they're going to be caught up together with their loved ones in the air. Wow, what a roundup that's going to be. Amen. That's going to be the time. I know the world mocks it. I know that. But even they know a little bit. I was watching, it's been a few months, I guess. I was watching, it was a phenomenal thing. Over New York, or one of the big cities, all of a sudden, and this was on the, it was on the news. It was not just a paranormal thing. It was on the news. And there were some people taking pictures of things in the air, and it looked like human bodies up in the air. Now, they never did know what it was, whether somebody had designed some balloons, but if they did, they were high and they finally disappeared. But it looked like human bodies floating over the city in the air. And they had the cameras on it. And the newswoman, she was shocked as she saw it. And without it being scripted or on the teleprompter, she spoke up and said, "Wow, it looks like the rapture." And I thought, "Yeah, honey, you got it right. One day it's going to look that way. One day it's going to be real. One day the trumpet's going to sound and God's people are going to be caught up and meet their loved ones in the air. What a time that's going to be." You say, "Well, who's it going to be, preacher?" It's going to be the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that have received him. Though Jesse was singing about Calvary and him dying on the cross, there's some folks that look to him as Lord and Savior, as you heard the sheriff say a while ago, and that's the ones that's going to go when the trumpet sounds. Those that have been born again by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said in John 10, "My sheep know my voice." The Bible tells us when the rapture takes place, it's going to be the voice of the archangel, going to be the trump of God. Do you understand that we're going to answer to a voice? We know him. We that know him are going. That's as simple as that. I was born on a farm, and we raised chickens on a farm. And we have those, you know, my brother and I, we knew where every old hen had hid her nest and was about to hatch out some new ones. And I remember so many times an old hen would hatch out a dozen or more. We used to call them little bitties. And they'd be falling around with the mother, but they'd get scattered, and the other chickens and the other little ones around, there'd be a yard full of chickens. And all of a sudden, that mother hen would find a good juicy worm, and she'd go to clucking. You know what? All of her babies came to her. Not the strangers, but the ones that knew her voice. They'd gather to her. "We're going to know his voice." He said, my sheep know my voice. Yes, we'll know his voice. And we'll be called to him. And you know what? There's a sad side to that. And that's the loved ones that's going to be left behind. Can you imagine the wailing and the crying and the pain for a family that sees some go and others remain? I don't know how much God is going to show them, but I know this. I've had a lot of funerals with people, and I've heard some real wailing and screaming and crying. I want to tell you, it's going to be across the land when all of a sudden loved ones are gone, caught up in the air with the Lord, disappear, just like in the movie there that I referenced. Just all of a sudden, he's in my arms, but he's not now. Can you imagine a husband fixing to kiss his wife goodbye in the morning, she disappears right out of his arms? I can just run that imagination real, real big on some of that. Can you imagine a mother going in to tuck in a baby in the bed at night, and all of a sudden the baby's gone? And by the way, the babies will go. They belong to him. They belong to him. I mean, I can think of some real wailing and crying and weeping and hurt and pain that's going to go on when that roundup takes place. But there's the roundup of the saved. Then there's the roundup of the nations. Did you know that? I'm going to look over, and time's got me limited this morning, but I were to go over to Matthew chapter 25. Jesus talked about it. He talked about when he came back. He said in verse 31 of Matthew 25, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory," not the rapture, but "in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." This is when Jesus is lifted up to his rightful place, when he sits on the throne. He's not coming back to be crucified again. He's coming back to rule and reign. And so he comes back here, and it says in verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations. How many? All nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You know, I'm going to stop there, but let me say this. The nations are facing a judgment. They don't believe it today, but the scripture says all nations are going to bring before him. He's going to come back. He's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to rule and reign. The Bible says in Revelation 20 for 1,000 years. And he's going to call all the nations before him. And he's going to judge them like sheep and goats, one on the right and one on the left. And yes, nations today can commit national sin against God. And they will answer for it one day. Answer for it one day. Yes, there's such a thing as national sin. See, the nations today are divided over God's values, what's right and what's wrong. They want power, they want control, they want their way, and not let God have his way. And a lot of sin committed by nations. I hear in the hearings on the TV about the lady judge for the Supreme Court, and it amazes me as they try to trip her up. Do you know you got a bunch of people there representing authority that's arguing for sin to win? That's what's going on. And I think, what kind of message does that send to God? God has told us in the book what he hates and what he loves and what is right and what is wrong. And there's no doubt about that. I think about that. That's amazing. I see the anti-God atmosphere growing today. No moral conscience like we used to have. I grew up sometimes, and, I mean, I'd done some things wrong, but brother, I knew they were wrong. Definitely. Today, we've lost that thing of what is right and wrong. It's amazing how the atmosphere has changed. It is a terrible thing. I like what the sheriff said. I read in the paper not too long ago, some of the crime. By the way, he catches them. He said, this is pure evil. And they printed that in the paper. He was dead right. Pure evil does exist, and it seems like it is increasing, and the moral conscience of the nation seems to be so much lower than it used to be. But here, the nations are gathered before the Lord, and that's not the only place in the Bible that says so. If you were to go over the little book of Joel, chapter 3, you'd find out over there that God tells us that he's going to bring all the nations before him. Listen to it in Joel, chapter 3. Verse 2, I will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. You find out God is still jealous over the people that he originally called Israel. Valley of Jehoshaphat, you know you hear this a lot. Douglas MacArthur said at the end of World War II, when he was signing the treaty on the ship for the surrender of Japan, he said, you got to send missionaries or Armageddon will be at the door. Now, Armageddon, we often think about and forget what it really is. Armageddon is when the nations gather not only to fight each other, but to fight God. When the Lord is coming back, they're going to treat him like a space invasion. You read Revelation chapter 19. He comes back leading the armies of heaven. They don't meet him with open arms. They resist him until they get so afraid as they begin to see the skies open, the scroll roll back. They start crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. Oh, yes, a little bit late then. Pretty late then, but the nations are going to face a judgment according to the word of God. That is exactly what the Bible teaches, and we see that today. My grandma used to say, and she had some sayings. I can't find in the Bible, but I find a bunch of what she said in the Bible too. She pretty much predicted the end times we're in, and the confusion and the warfare and all that is going on. She'd say that. She was probably the only one in the family that was professing Christian and consistently read her Bible. She bothered me, brother. I'd go out for my race car, and then I'd have to go by the door, and she'd get that old King James Bible with no cover on it, and she'd sit there, and when Grandma read, her lips moved, and the closer I got to her, the more they moved. And I knew she was speaking against me as she's reading the Bible. And I'd get in that race car and kind of get serious about, I could have a wreck tonight, you know. I could face God tonight. And I would often see Grandma sitting at the door with that old Bible with no cover on it. And I'd ask myself the question, why does that bother you so bad? You read all the books in school, they didn't bother you. You read Shakespeare, he didn't bother you. He bored the fire out of you, but he didn't bother you. Remember? But it bothered me, that old book did. It bothered me over there because what she was saying was me. And the Holy Spirit of God was applying it to me. But a little bit more than that, she used to say, there'll come a time, there'll be blood up to the horse's bridle. Anybody ever hear that? Well, I'll tell you where you'd read it. You'd read it in Revelation chapter 14. There's going to be a time when this valley of Jehoshaphat, where he's calling these nations together, where this big war is taking place, they maybe to begin with fighting among themselves, but all of a sudden there's going to be a sign in heaven, and Jesus is going to return with the armies of heaven, and they're going to turn to fight him, but too late. The Bible tells us he's going to trample on top of them like they were grapes in a wine press. Read it. And the blood, Revelation 14, is going to come up to the horse's bridle. That's what Grandma was talking about. You say, well, that couldn't be. Well, I'm not so sure it couldn't. We're talking about the armies of the world gathering in a place to resist God. Amen? I'm talking about a time when the nations are going to be rounded up. A roundup of nations. But you know what is good? The devil has moved them there, but the devil's going to lose this battle. He's going to lose this war. You know, if I were to flip over, for sake of time, I won't say much, but if I were to flip over to maybe Isaiah chapter 14, I'm going to see if I can find that real quick. And I want to read you a few verses. You see, there's a mistaken idea. Folks think the devil rules in hell, but he don't. He's the number one that's going to be tormented in hell. The Bible says that the hell was created for the devil and for his angels. And all that follow him, I've said to a lot of fellows that were lost and needed to receive Jesus, you go to hell against God's will. God wanted you to be saved. Hell was not created for you. You will be an intruder if you go into hell. You don't have to. You don't have to. But I read over here in Isaiah 14 where the devil goes to hell. I mean, I read the conclusion of what's going to happen to him. It tells us that he tried to usurp his throne above God. But here's what it says in verse 9 of Isaiah 14. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Talking to the devil. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. Chief ones of the earth. Politically high ones, yes. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Listen to what they say when they see the devil come into the same place they are now. Listen to the next verse. All they shall speak and say unto thee, unto Satan, art thou also become weak as we? Weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Son of the morning, Lucifer. That's in your King James Bible. Some of the new versions don't have it, but they're wrong. This is the devil. O Lucifer, the son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground? Watch the next statement. Which didst weaken the nations. So how come the nations are so wrong? The devil is in charge. He's deceiving. He is guiding them. He is entrapping them. And folks, that's what we see today. I mean, the news programs amaze me. Today, a lie, whoever wins tells the biggest lie, seems like. Deception and lies is a sign of our time, like never have I seen it before. And here is a roundup of the nations when they're going to answer to God for listening to the devil. Their champion, the devil, is going to hell with them. And the kings and the high-powered folks that followed him are going to say, are you as weak as us now? You're the one that led us. You're the one that deceived us. And now all of a sudden, we found out you don't have the power we thought you had. You're defeated also. Boy, what a roundup that'll be. What a roundup that'll be. But there's a final roundup, a final one. I find it in Revelation chapter 20. Bible students call it the Great White Throne Judgment. Great White Throne Judgment. I'll turn over there to it with you just a moment, because I want to read it. Revelation chapter 20. I want you to see these verses. I'm going to start reading in Revelation chapter 20, and I'm going to pick it up in about verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the final roundup. The lake of fire says this is the second death. And then the last verse, Revelation 20, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the final roundup. Who's going to be there? All those that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. All of those that criticized and defeated and blasphemed God Almighty instead of receiving His Son as their own, His only begotten Son, they rejected. They wound up lost. They wound up at the great white throne judgment when the books were opened. When the dead are judged out of them. You know, Christ rejectors, God haters, we see the crowd today. It's amazing today how the church is under attack. A friend of mine pastors in California, good large church, larger than we are here. He's been ordered to shut down. They fined him over $100,000 for not shutting down. Even though he tried to do some safety things, social distancing and mask and a few other things, they just used it for an excuse to attack the church. Not just his, but many of them, many of them. So he has a young people's ministry like we do, runs a few buses like we do, brings some kids in. So he told them, he said, I won't shut down anymore. I've been shut down long enough. I'm going to open up. You know what they told him? We'll come take the kids. That's America I'm talking about. That's California. Somebody says what happens out there reaches the rest of America. Often it does. Often it does. You see what we got today? We got the devil fighting God, fighting his church, fighting his Bible, fighting his standards, fighting his values. Everywhere you look, you see that going on today. No doubt about it. But there's coming a roundup, a final roundup. The great white throne judgment. Oh, yes. They're going to be there. They're going to be there. You know what I want? I hate to say this, but I got to say it. Shockingly, there's going to be some folks there you might not expect. Folks that were lost that never would admit it. Folks that were pretenders and fakers. Oh, they might have joined the church, they might have got baptized, but they never were saved and they knew it all the time. But they kind of liked the fellowship and the crowd, but they really were not believers. That's sad, but that's true, folks. That's true. Book of Revelation tells us it's an awful time at the great white throne judgment. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus warned that group. He said, in that day, many will come unto me, saying, how about we cast out devils in your name? How about we done many wonderful works in your name? And you know what he says in Matthew 7? I'll say to him, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. He didn't say, I knew you a while and you lost it. No. He said, I never knew you. Never knew you. That's sad. But that's reality, folks. Say, what's going to happen to the pretender, to the hypocrite, to the faker, to the liar that claims to be a Christian and they're not? They're going to wind up in an awful place. White, great white throne judgment. So round up, you do not want to be at, my friend. You do not want to be there. You know, sadly, most of us know some personal situations, just like I just described. Somebody that's maybe joined the church, but never really joined Jesus. It's too bad. A preacher friend of mine is talking with me this week. He is telling me that in his church, that there was two or three to start with, been church members for years, had a lot of people fooled for years. You know, I can't hardly think of anything more miserable than having to go to church when you really don't belong in your heart. That's a miserable place to be in when you know you're faking it. He said God in an unusual way got a hold of two or three folks, and they came and got saved genuinely, gave their testimony. All these years I knew I wasn't saved. And he said, you know what? It caught on, and there's more there than I ever expected that happened to. And he said, when they got saved, he said, it answered so many things. They started living different, talking different, acting different, because they had it real on the inside. I want to say to you, at the great white throne, there won't be any fakers there. Brother, if you wind up faking it down here, you can get by with it. You can fool the preacher. You can fool your wife. You can fool your husband. You can fool the crowd, but you don't fool Jesus. Amen. Not at all. And to wind up and die lost, maybe some that sit on these pews in this building or some other church that preach the truth, but somehow they say, well, mama's a good Christian. They'll let me in. Daddy's a deacon. They'll let me in. Oh, no. Oh, no. The Bible says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. Personal, real, genuine, personal. I say to you this morning, we can enjoy some roundups down here. And if you're saved, you'll enjoy the roundup when the trumpet sounds and calls us up. Or the roundup of the nations, they deserve God coming and dealing with them with justice for sure. But the final roundup, you don't want to be at. The great white throne where they're cast into the lake of fire. All the difference is Jesus. Is he your Savior? Are you trusting him? Him alone? The price he paid for your sins on the cross? Him. Not your deeds, not your works, not your family, not your society, not the club you belong to, but Jesus. Are you trusting him? Are you trusting him? I recommend some roundups, but I do not recommend the final one that ends in the lake of fire. Please, please don't take a chance on going there. Would you bow your heads with me this morning, please? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, will you think about it? Do you know somebody that you feel like is in that case? Are you making sure that you're not in that situation? I pray you'd consider that today. And I pray that you would know the answer is to call on the Lord Jesus Christ and let him be your Savior. He's the one that died on the cross and paid for your sins. We're going to sing a verse of song here in God's house. We're going to give what we call an invitation. We invite you to come forward and receive the Lord Jesus as Savior. Really, genuinely. What you're doing when you do that, you're turning your back and saying, I can't be good enough to go to heaven. Or I'm trusting the wrong thing and I'm going to turn from that and trust Jesus and him only. Whatever God has spoken to your heart about this morning, cleared it. Could be you say, well, preacher, I've been claiming to be a Christian a long time, but down deep, I knew it wasn't. Then this morning is the time. Still got time. Before the trumpet sounds, time before you call before God to make it real and to make it right. I pray you would, even in this invitation. Would you stand with me, please, with our heads bowed? Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we commit the invitation to you. Father, we enjoy some roundups down here, but there's one coming we'll not enjoy unless we know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray for that one that needs him today. Father, I'm not asking him about the salvation for his church membership or baptism. I'm saying, is it real? Is it personal? Do you know Jesus? Pray you'd bless the invitation now. Not one would leave this building lost. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to go to the front. I'll meet you right here if you'll come and trust Christ this morning. You come as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou didst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Will you come? Will you come? To talk anybody out of their salvation, but I'm telling you, it's a late hour to be guessing and hoping when you can know. If you don't know, it's a miserable position to be in. Salvation is a no-so thing for now. The scripture says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Not hope so, not wait and find out, but know. Know now. You want peace when you pillow your head at night, knowing that if you die in your sleep, heaven's your home. That brings peace. That's all it will. I've said it so many times, nobody's really ready to live until they're ready to die. You're not ready to die until you know Jesus and know him for sure. Not just a hope-so thing, it's a real thing. Do you know? Do you know? Your privilege to know. I've seen some folks die on the deathbed describing the glory of heaven they were slipping into. That's wonderful. I've seen one or two die in fear, screaming that the fire was burning. What a horrible thing. Had an uncle that went out that way. I remember some good days in his life as a kid. He was kind of an uncle I liked. Of course, as a kid, I didn't know all his bad stuff. Didn't matter. He died lost. And he died crying the fire. The fire. Oh, listen. Don't let that happen to you. Horrible thing. Horrible thing. Are you saved? Are you saved? Do you know for sure? Brother Bert, please lead us in another verse.
Just as
invitation's still open.
Poor wretched,
you can still come.
Blind, sight rich as healing. A
We're going to let you be seated in the congregation. We'll share with you here.